If you're a veteran here this morning or have served in the military of any branch of the service, would you please stand right now so we can recognize you? All right, all over the sanctuary this morning. All right. God bless you guys. Thank you and ladies for being a part of this great nation, and because of your service to this nation and the thousands and millions of others, we can come today and celebrate what freedom means, but we can celebrate most of all what freedom in Christ means this morning. This morning, I'm deviating from my series in the Book of Solomon. We'll continue and pick up with that next Sunday morning as we are looking at Solomon's secrets to successful living. But what I want to do this morning is speak out of Proverbs chapter 14, once again from Solomon, verse 34, a nation in crisis. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, we see the words, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Notice what Solomon said as he looked at his ancient world, as he looked at the world around him, as he even saw the decay, as he saw the deterioration in his day thousands of years ago. He said, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Now, there are lots of crises that we could speak about in America today, but the one that I want to address this morning is essentially what the choir just sang about. Thank you, Ken, for that song this morning, because it spoke about how once we were undivided, now we are divided. Once we stood on the Word of God and the absolute truth of God, and today those things have slipped away, those things are eroding away. And so this morning, I want to speak about what Solomon had to say here. You'll remember he was the wisest man in all of the Old Testament. He became the king as a very young man, and God gave him one request. God said, "Ask anything that you want, and I will grant it to you." And because he did not ask for power, he did not ask for riches, he did not ask for prosperity, he did not ask for prominence, he did not ask for position, he did not ask for property in the kingdoms of this world, God granted him riches, God granted him wealth, he granted him fame, he certainly granted him wisdom, and he was the king and who was most powerful, most influential in his world in this day. He wrote the book of Proverbs, which is a practical book for practical living. And he says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Now, there's a great contrast between the word righteousness there and the word sin there, or the word reproach there. This morning, I want to look at three things about a nation that's in crisis, and I believe that that's where America is this morning. After 243 years after the Second Continental Congress declared the Declaration of Independence, our independence from Great Britain, and our religious freedoms on July the 4th, 1776. For 243 years, this nation has stood, and I want to speak about some of those things this morning. And first of all, I want us to look at America's great dedication. America's great dedication, when you think of the founding fathers of America, and when you think of the Judeo-Christian principles on which this nation was founded, those forefathers thought so much about this subject that Solomon speaks about here, righteousness. There was a righteousness that was involved in the founding of America, of this nation. There was a righteousness involved with those who came to these shores to flee the religious oppression and to seek religious liberty. Even those signers of the Declaration of Independence, they knew, they understood God's blessings would be upon a nation who stood for righteousness, who stood with the right standing with Almighty God. They knew God would prosper them. They knew that God's blessings would be upon this nation if it were founded upon spiritual principles. You see, righteousness is not something that you and I can earn. Righteousness is not something you and I deserve this morning. Let me tell you, the Bible teaches us that righteousness is God's free gift that He purchased with His blood on the cross at Calvary. And when we receive Christ into our personal lives and ask Him to forgive us of our sins and be the Lord of our lives, let me tell you, we stand in His righteousness. We have a right standing with Almighty God. The Bible says, for Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And there is righteousness that's imputed to us by the wonderful grace of Almighty God. And then there's a practical righteousness that we live each day as Jesus controls our life as we walk by faith. This righteousness is seen in us as Christ lives His life through us as we allow Him to do that. And this is the dedication of America. Many of its earliest citizens and many of those founding fathers, they understood the great price that was paid to have a nation that was founded upon godly spiritual principles. And many of those signers of the Declaration of Independence, they paid the ultimate price as they pledged their lives and they pledged their fortunes to each other for the cause of freedom. You see that word righteousness there that Solomon speaks about, living godly, living righteously in a godless culture that you and I live in. In fact, the psalmist put it this way in the 71st Psalm in verse 19, "Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto Thee?" You see that word righteousness, where it speaks about righteousness exalts a nation. That word exalt means it lifts up a nation. And we know that when the Continental Congress, they couldn't settle sometimes their great issues as they debated each other. It was Benjamin Franklin that stood up and said, "Gentlemen, gentlemen, gentlemen." He said, "A sparrow cannot fall to the ground without God noticing it." He said, "It's likely that an empire cannot be raised without God's aid." I want you to think about that. And so he suggested at that moment that they stop and that they quit their debating and get down on their knees in prayer. I wonder what would happen this morning if the Congress did that, if the President did that, the Vice President did that, if the Supreme Court justices of this land did that. I want you to know, from the White House to Congress, the legislature, down to the church house and the schoolhouse, I wonder what would happen in America. I wonder what the world would look at and view as Americans if they should see such a display. You see, Ben Franklin said, we need to get down on our knees and we need to pray. In that early part of the Continental Congress, someone walked in and said, "Which man is Mr. Washington?" And they said, "The man who is always on his knees, kneeling and praying." You see, our founding fathers of this great nation of some 240 years, they understood what righteousness was all about. The psalmist said in the 119th Psalm, verse 40, "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts, quicken me in thy righteousness." The psalmist said in the 119th Psalm, verse 42, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law, the word of God, is the truth." You see, that means that there is a standard that never changes. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the immutable God. That's one of his attributes. Immutability means God does not change. Now, we all change. Friendships change. But let me tell you, God never changes. He's always the same. God loves you as much today as God has ever loved you, from eternity past to eternity present to eternity future. God will never love you any less. God will never love you any more, because God's love is an agape love. That word agape means God's love is unconditional. He loves you because he loves you. Aren't you grateful this morning that he doesn't look at all of the ugliness of our lives, but God looks at us and he loves us and he cares for us? He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm a present help to you in your time of trouble. You see, this Bible, I believe, is the inspired word of God. I believe it's the inerrant word of God. That means I believe it's without error. From Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, it's inspired of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you want to know truth? I am truth. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You see, there has to be a standard by which we follow. And when this nation was founded, there was a standard, and it was founded upon the Judeo-Christian principles of God's holy word. Let me tell you, you and I live in a world today that says there is no standard. We live in a very humanistic, existential, philosophic world today. That means that whatever is right for you is right for you, and whatever's wrong for you is wrong for you, but there is no such thing as right and wrong. It just depends on what you think and what you want to do. You see, that song a few moments ago the choir sang about, spoke about how the truth of the Word of God has slipped away. Let me tell you, young people this morning, in the world that you are growing up, much unlike the world that I grew up in, let me tell you, in the world that I grew up in, God's Word was God's Word. If God settled it, it settled it. If God said it, it settled it. But in the world that you're growing up in today, people are looking at things as relative truth. Well, if it's okay, just do it. If it's okay for you, just do it. But the Bible says there are absolute truths in God's Word. And when I look at each generation must maintain the righteousness of the nation. If America is to be a nation that is dedicated to God, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, Moses wanted to remind the children of Israel about their God. He said, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely the great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? You see, Moses wanted the children of Israel and their children and their grandchildren to know that there is a right and there is a wrong, and God is always right, and that there are absolute truths. And we see America's great dedication in its foundingness, in its founding fathers, was based upon these spiritual Christian principles. But secondly, this morning, I want you to see something else about a nation in crisis. I want you to see America's great distinctiveness. And by that I mean where it says righteousness exalts a nation. That word exalt in the Hebrew means to be lifted up or to be placed on a high platform, to be made visible. And it has several meanings this morning. I want you to think with me this morning. What does the righteousness do to a nation? Well, first of all, it exalts us. And it has brought prosperity to America. Did you realize with only 5% of this world's population, as I understand it, there are some 7.5 billion people worldwide this morning, some 7.5 billion people. Now, only 5% of that population is here in America. 5%. But did you know of the 5% of the world's population in America that 50% of the world's wealth is here in America? Let me tell you, wonder why that was. I believe it was because God looked at America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, and He gave those founding fathers and those who came to get away from religious oppression that was in their world. And He brought them here, and He has prospered this great nation. We have been one of the most charitable nations in giving in of any nation in all of the world. Of the 196 nations of this world, America has been so blessed. America has prospered so greatly. God has prospered this world that you and I live in. You see, this nation has sent out many missionaries around the world who have lifted up the cross. You see, Solomon said, righteousness, a right standing with God, if you will, righteousness. You see, me in all of my flesh, I'm not righteous. How do I become righteous? I can't in and of myself. I stand in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me, who gave Himself for me, who shed His blood, and He reached down and robed me in His righteousness. That means I have a right standing with Almighty God. Let me tell you, any nation that is robed in the righteousness of the Almighty, God will exalt that nation. God will lift up that nation. Let me tell you, we've been exalted through prosperity, but America has been exalted through protection. The psalmist said in the 32nd Psalm, verse 7, "Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance." And that little word Selah means, now what do you think about that? That's what that word means. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. You see, the psalmist is talking about a nation that is righteous, that exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has protected America. There's no way that you and I could ever explain how that a little army of the colonists, that little ragtag group of farmers and merchants who had very little in military equipment that could defeat the mightiest army in the world, Great Britain, and win its independence in human terms. Only a miracle of Almighty God would explain it. God began to exalt this nation by protecting it. It was during the days of the Civil War from 1861 to 1865. It would have torn this nation totally apart and any other nation, yet God protected America through that and brought America back together. There were times in World War II when it looked like that you and I might speak German, or that we might speak Japanese, and yet God gave the victory to America. Young people, the other day, as they talked about D-Day on TV, you know the story about D-Day. Just at the right moment, God lifted the fog and allowed the Allies to land at Normandy, and we won that war with our allies. Miracle after miracle after miracle God performed because He has protected America. Why? Because righteousness exalts a nation. Let me tell you, the Soviet Union failed. Their economy crumbled. All of their missiles and atomic energy and all of its space exploration couldn't save the Soviet Union. Why? Because of rejection. Rejection of God. And they desecrated the churches and they persecuted the believers, but God prospered and God has protected America because Solomon said, righteousness, a right standing with God, exalts, lifts up a nation. America's enjoyed God's power. And so, let me tell you, when you think about how we've triumphed, another word for exalt means to triumph. We've triumphed over our enemy after enemy. It was a little different story in Korea and North Vietnam. And now today we face terrorism on many of the fronts. The question I guess I would ask today is, will we continue to be protected in the days to come? Will we continue to be the most powerful nation on the face of the earth? Lastly, for this morning, I want you to see America's great deterioration or America's great dishonor. America, it looks like, has been ungrateful to Almighty God. Paul was writing to the Roman church, and in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, he said, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Think about all the people in this nation this morning that are not engaged in a church anywhere. I want you to think about that. And yet we have so many freedoms that we enjoy. I want you to think about the ungratefulness to Almighty God for His divine protection upon America, for His wonderful prosperity that He has blessed us with. Romans said, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I saw a documentary this past week where that 50,000 to 100,000, get this, 50 to 100,000 boys and girls and women are brought to America or kidnapped in America and sold in sex slavery right here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Do you think that that is righteousness? Do you think that that exalts God Almighty in heaven? When I saw that, I could not help but believe that the flames of hell are leaping high this morning for those who harm little children. I want you to know America's dishonor, America's deterioration. It's a sad day in America when 5 to 6% of the population has more power in Washington, D.C. than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then people holler separation of church and state. Let me tell you, in the Old Testament, that didn't bother Elijah. He walked into the palace of the king, stuck his finger in his nose and says, thus saith the Lord. Folks, let me tell you, we live in a world today that is slowly but surely eroding and slipping away from those Judeo-spiritual principles on which this nation was founded on. 2 Timothy 3:3 says, without natural affection, that means without love, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means those without self-control, fierce, meaning brutal, despisers of those that are good. In other words, we live in a world today where people call good evil and evil good. Let me tell you, I believe we began to see the deterioration of this nation whenever we took God out of the classroom. I believe when we took the Ten Commandments off of the halls of justice and out of the schoolrooms and taking the nativity scenes out of the courthouse squares and taking God out of the national light. You see, these are deteriorations from on which this nation was founded. That's not even to touch on the drug scene and the immorality scene and the scene of abortion, or that 40% of America's 14-year-old girls will become pregnant before their 19th birthday out of marriage. You see, America, the land of the free, the home of the brave. If you remember at Columbine there in Colorado Springs, when those students were asked if they believed in God, and those that said yes, that they could get to, they killed. Rachel Joy Scott was one of those victims that day. Her father, Donald Scott, spoke before the United States Senate after that horrific tragedy. And he said, "I'm here today to declare that Columbine was not just a tragedy. It was a spiritual event." That should force you and me to look at where the blame lies. Someone wrote this after that. They said, "Your laws ignore our deepest needs. Your words are inferior. You have stripped away our heritage. You have outlawed simple prayer. Now gunshots fill our classrooms and our precious children die. You seek for answers everywhere and you ask the question, why? You regulate restrictive laws through your legislative creeds, and yet you fail to understand that God is what we need." You see, our scripture this morning says there's another part to that righteousness thing. If righteousness exalts the nation, what is the contrast to that? And the other part of that is sin, missing the mark, sin, disobedience to God's word, is a reproach to any people. That word reproach means to be brought low. Let me tell you, when other nations look at America, and we send our missionaries all over the world to other nations, let me tell you what some of those other nations are saying. "Why are you trying to evangelize us? You need to evangelize your own nation." In fact, Billy Graham said, the greatest mission field in all of the world today is in America. Folks, I want you to think about that. The things that made this nation great in its founding some 243 years ago are slowly but surely slipping away. Let me tell you, when God wrote to the nation of Israel in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the choir sang a few moments ago, "Bring us back. Bring us back." Notice what God said to his people. He didn't say this to the lost of the world. He said it to Christians. He said it to his people. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves," God hates pride, "and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land." Let me tell you, I believe it's time for the church, it's time for America to get back to the standard, the basics of the Word of God. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house," he said, "we're going to serve the Lord." I hear more and more parents saying, "I want to enroll my kids in private school. I want my kids to be in Christian education." No wonder when you see where our schools are going in our world today. You see, I believe the only hope for America is a revival, is a renewal of God's people to turn to Almighty God. For Solomon said, "Righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Would you stand? We're going to sing "America the Beautiful." The first and the last stanzas of "America the Beautiful." Ken's going to come and lead that. And then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have an invitation this morning. If you need to come in a few moments, will you come and give Jesus your heart? Ken, would you lead us in these two stanzas? Have our invitation.